Stay tuned now for Dr. Steven Zelikoff and a program you will not want to miss. Bone Talk. That's Bone Talk with Dr. Steven Zelikoff on 1460 WVOX.
Zelikoff, and welcome to another edition of Bone Talk. Today, I'm excited to have a continuation from a previous show. We have our guest, Dr. Craig Shalmy, who's a board-certified anesthesiologist and critical care specialist with a particular focus on pain management. We were very fortunate to have Dr. Shalmy speak to us about 2 months ago, and we talked a lot about different types of pain management as far as what pain management was, how trying to avoid narcotics in terms of dealing with both acute and chronic pain, and then looking at different modalities, particularly focusing on conservative care of back pathology and spinal issues. Today, the focus is going to be much more about interventions and what are some of the things that you can do as far as people that come in both with acute and chronic back pain and back problems, things like spinal stenosis, disc herniations, and what can you do short of surgery in a pain management physician's practice to try to see if we can get these better. Dr. Shalmy has trained at, he did his residency and fellowship at Harvard. He's been in practice for over 25 years, and he's affiliated with a number of different regional hospitals. Craig Shalmy, welcome. Thanks again for being back on our show.
Thank you again for having me, Steve. Greatly appreciate it.
Of course. So, you know, just for our audience who didn't get a chance to hear the last episode, and by the way, if any of you on the air right now want to hear some of the older episodes of our shows and different things, you can go on our website at specialtyorthony.com. And then look under Bone Talk, and then we've got every one of the episodes of Bone Talk we've done for the last number of years, and you can certainly hear the last talk that we had with Dr. Shalmy as well. So I'd encourage anybody to please go online, and you can go ahead and open up and get the whole digital file and listen to our show sort of as a podcast. But again, so our focus is people that come in both with acute and chronic back pain. What's your strategy? How do you sort of approach them? And what can they expect when they go to your practice?
Oh, my goodness, such a huge topic. So much to talk about, so little time. So let me launch right into this. So we're talking about, let's just discuss for a moment chronic pain. We said last time pain north of 3 months, it actually becomes more of sort of a disease condition than say an acute pain, which is due to some trauma or a strain or sprain, something you've recently had. People who have chronic low back pain, in the olden days, however many years ago that may have been, if you had a problem with your back, it could be disc, arthritic, spinal stenosis, you would have the usual kinds of things, physical therapy, medication management. If these conservative things didn't work, sometimes there was a position in surgery for you. Sometimes there was some kind of a procedure that could help. There was a very limited number of sort of mid-level options, things like epidural steroid injections, which have been around for quite a bit of time, over 40 years already. But in that period of time, there's been a tremendous proliferation of procedures that sort of occupy this middle space, less than surgery, but things that are more than just your standard physical therapy, manual therapies, medication management. These are minimally invasive things, things that can be done right here in the office, other things that may require going to a hospital, but still generally not with, with anesthesia, things that with just a bit of sedation and that are really in and out of the procedure room or the hospital same day with a rapid recovery, recovery to function, recovery to work. Depending on what the patient's problem is, some of the most basic things that we talk about and that we do are things like epidural steroid injections. Again, long ago, this was just for people with disc herniations. Nowadays, they're done in a much wider scope of problems. So people with spinal stenosis, people with spinal arthritis, nerve root impingement, we do things like injecting steroid medications into the epidural space that relieves inflammatory changes. And for a lot of patients can provide very significant relief, improvement in function, sort of back to back to work, back to the things you enjoy doing. And that can last anywhere from weeks to years. It really depends on what the underlying problem is. Sometimes now, these injections are repeated.
Now, again, we were sort of focusing, so you mentioned people with back pain. And this is for patients which have back pain. And how does that differ from somebody that has leg pain with radiculopathy or symptoms from that the pain is not so much in their back but down their leg? Are these similar, these approaches work the same for those patients, or is it mostly just for people with lower back pain?
No, it's for people with radicular pain or sciatic pain as well. Interestingly, you know, the spine has two particular functions. One is to support you and keep you up and allow you to move. The other is to house the nervous system. When things like arthritis and disc herniations and such become a problematic condition for a patient, a lot of times it will involve the nervous system inside the the spine. There's a spinal cord, and of course there are nerve roots. At the level of the low back, all of those nerve roots will provide neurological function for the legs. So if you have a disc herniation in your back or an arthritic focus that's pretty severe, it can start to pinch your nerve. You're going to feel it down your leg. Same thing with the cervical spine, with the neck. The nerve roots that are coming off at that level of the spine will power the arms. So when you have a disc herniation, arthritis, malalignment, any number of problems in the cervical spine, in the neck, a lot of patients will have problems in their arms, sharp shooting, radiating pain down the arms. If it's severe enough, patients can wind up with some sensory problems. They lose normal sensation. They can even become weak. In the most severe of these cases of these patients, surgery may become necessary. But again, we've developed over the years sort of an increasing layer that, again, less than surgery, minimally invasive things that can be done to relieve some of these conditions. We talked about epidural steroid injections. Another good example is doing facet blocks. So,
well, let's go back one second. I'm going to hold you back one second, because one of the things that I just would like to sort of reach out. So one of the concerns that I think people, once they've gone through conservative modalities, physical therapy, anti-inflammatories, things like that, and they have these continued symptoms or pain, whether it be radiculopathic, where it goes down the leg, or whether it be in their back. Oftentimes, they'll see a pain management specialist who talks about epidural steroids. Now, one of the things that patients come to me and they ask me with steroids is like, oh, my God, it's a steroid. Is that going to affect other parts of my body? How many injections can I have? How many do I need to get better? I mean, what are the issues just for our audience? And if you could just briefly just tell them when you have an epidural steroid, because people sort of remember there were injections in the back and they sounded terrible. So just if you can reassure them, you know, exactly what this is like and what they can expect when they go for an epidural steroid.
Sure. Steroids, people have concern about steroids, and understandably so. You think about those side effects that people that are getting steroids, these kinds of side effects and toxicities they get. But we're talking about, those are patients that are taking daily steroids, typically for things like emphysema or rheumatoid arthritis, other immunological conditions, where they have to be on something like prednisone, a pill that's systemic. They take it every day. Those are the folks that you're going to get steroid toxicity and significant side effects. An individual injection here and there is never going to cause those kinds of side effects. So steroids in and of themselves, it's not so much the drug. It's the chronicity, how often it's given, how much is given. And that's something that in pain management, we follow every patient carefully to see what their doses are, how much they've had. We keep them well below anything that would cause those kinds of side effects.
That's great to know.
So really not a problem. And a lot of patients come to me and say, what about back injections, though, putting a needle in the spine? I've heard things like paralysis and all kinds of different complications.
Right, yeah, people are concerned.
You'll always find something in the literature that's very severe, you know, major complications. But I can't emphasize enough, these are very commonly performed procedures that are extremely safe. Performed by somebody with experience, that with the right training, these procedures are fast, they're simple, they're safe, and they can be very effective. Everything that we do, most pain specialists these days do everything under continuous X-ray, frequently with laser guidance. It's very precise, very accurate. We're very careful. The techniques have been developed over many decades to protect any of the nerves or the critical structures. So, again, these are very safe, simple procedures.
Well, that's really good to know. And somebody has an epidural injection, and it works. How often can you repeat it? And then when it sort of like wears off, how often do they come back? And then at that point, if they're not better, then what's the next step afterward, an epidural steroid?
Well, keep in mind, Steve, if the epidural is for something like a relatively young, healthy spine, say with a disc herniation, most of those are going to get better. The injections act as a bridge to get the patient into the future. Provided once, twice, even three times every few weeks, it will give the patient that period of time so that the disc has healed and their symptoms have resolved. So it's not so much that the steroids are fixing the disc. The disc is living tissue. It's going to heal. Most of these herniations do over time. The bigger, badder herniations sometimes don't and occasionally will require surgery. But again, the idea of the steroid is to get them into the future, sort of bridge them into a time when the underlying symptoms have resolved. Many patients don't even realize the injection has worn off many months later because they're better.
Great.
If for somebody has more of a chronic back pain problem, it could be arthritic changes, spinal stenosis, which is sort of a very tight narrowing of the spinal canal, malalignment where the vertebrae are actually starting to shift, those kinds of chronic problems, occasionally you can give somebody with more of a chronic back pain problem, more of a chronic degenerative condition, you can give them many months with a series of epidural steroid injections. And I do have patients in that kind of a condition, typically older patients, that come in every maybe year or 2 years, and they have a series of injections. They're not going to be permanent in most of these patients, but they can give them long periods of relief and pain and improvement in function. But there are options when that fails, when that series of injections doesn't last, or doesn't last anymore because they've gotten worse over the years, then there's other things that we can do.
So, again, we're on the phone today with Dr. Craig Shalmy, a pain management specialist with his practice in Harrison at 550 Mamaroneck Avenue. And if you'd like to reach out and speak with Dr. Shalmy, you can reach him at his office at 914-873-8313. So when people have bad spinal stenosis, and the spine, as you mentioned, it's a series of building blocks, and they're little joints that sort of couple them together. If those joints become arthritic, then can you tell us a little about the options in terms of dealing with that, short of surgery, things like facet blocks and spinal minimal invasive decompression, things of that nature?
It's a great question. When people talk about arthritis of the spine, there are joints in the spine. These are facet joints. There's a pair at every level from the base of your spine all the way up to the top of the neck. These joints occur because the vertebrae interlock with one another. This interlocking is critical because it protects the nervous system inside of the spine. It provides for the normal curvature, and it gives us our characteristic range of motion when we flex and extend and we twist, whether it be at the neck or the low back. These joints work in concert with the discs at each level to basically support, suspend, protect, and provide motion for the spine. When we look at the low back, especially the lower levels, which are the weight-bearing levels, we tend to see in patients that are getting a little bit older or who have had trauma, we start to see arthritic changes in these joints. They can produce chronic pain. Epidural steroids can be used for facet-based pain if it's causing spinal stenosis or impingement of a nerve. But when the pain is coming from the joints themselves, like any other joint, a shoulder, a knee, a hip, we can inject those joints with a little bit of cortisone, a little steroid. These are done under X-ray guidance, just like an epidural steroid, very precise, very precision. And we target these joints for a little bit of steroid, depending on whether the patient has bilateral pain or single-sided pain. We target the joints that seem to be most affected. If they get really good relief with one or two of these injections, and they keep that relief, then we just follow them. We're looking for improvement in pain as well as improvement in function. If they get great relief, but they can't keep it, if after a week or two or a month or two the pain continues to return, we can go back to those joints in a very similar procedure. We place a needle into the joint, but instead of injecting some steroid, we'll actually place a small probe through the needle close to the joint, and we provide some heat through something called a radio frequency generator. It's a way to provide very, very pinpoint targeted heat, and the heat on these joints will actually deaden the joint. There's a very tiny nerve that allows these joints to feel pain. We can deaden those nerves for a prolonged period of time. this is a procedure that typically lasts 6 months to a couple of years, and it can be repeated further on down the line if it has to be. But this is something that's been done for decades. It's a very effective procedure for people with something like spinal arthritis.
Now, if that is successful, then they can. You mentioned they can repeat it. Now, what happens,
absolutely,
I guess, in spinal stenosis is that there's compression and there's narrowing, and there's only so much space for the nerve roots to sort of pass by. Short of going ahead, and you know, I think, look, there's surgery. Obviously, sometimes it's indicated, and you need to go ahead and surgically open up the area of the spine, and sometimes fuse levels above and below to be able to go ahead and provide stability to the spine. I know that, unfortunately, there's a lot of patients that may not be medically able to undergo a big procedure or would like to try something that's possibly less invasive. Can you talk us a little bit about the minimally invasive lumbar decompression?
Sure, I'd be happy to. Again, this is one of those procedures that's occupying that middle ground. It's a somewhat newer procedure. Minimally invasive lumbar decompression, the acronym is MILD. Typically what the surgeon does when they are confronted with a patient with severe spinal stenosis is they'll do an operation, a relatively small back operation, where they will take out some of the bone, some of the less structural bone that's actually causing the narrowing of the spinal canal. But really what's causing the narrowing in a lot of these patients is the ligament under the bone. It's called the ligamentum flavum. And frequently in patients, again, with spinal arthritis, this ligament gets greatly thickened, and it represents one of the borders of that spinal canal. When that border starts to become very thickened, it limits the canal caliber. And as that canal gets smaller and smaller, the nerve roots in it start to get very cramped. Remember, nerve roots are not static inside the patient's spine. When you walk and you move, the nerves need to be able to move with you, to shorten, to elongate. When they're tethered, when they're in very tight quarters, that can produce sort of a characteristic spinal stenosis pain. Pain in the back, sometimes in the backs of the thighs too. Inability to walk or stand for any length of time. You're always looking for a chair to sit down in. The MILD procedure allows us to go in using continuous x-ray through just a skin puncture, not even an incision. And under direct fluoroscopic vision, we can actually nip out that ligament and decompress the spinal canal that way. Is it a full decompression the way the surgeon does? No, it's less than that. But for a patient that's not a candidate for a surgery or may not want the surgery yet, it's definitely an option. And it doesn't burn any bridges. If the patient didn't get relief, they could have decompression later on down the road. It doesn't preclude them from doing that. But it really represents a nice option for patients that have that back pain and that leg pain, what we call neurogenic claudication from sort of the squeezing of the nerves. So that's one example of a procedure that's done for spinal stenosis. Another is something like the Vertiflex, which is a very small device which can be placed through a tiny incision, which actually allows for what we call distraction or sort of a separation of the vertebrae. Sometimes just placing what essentially amounts to a small wedge in between the vertebrae can separate them and relieve the stenotic change, can relieve the narrowing, not just in the canal, but sometimes around the nerve root too, eliminating symptoms like sciatica. So these are non or less invasive surgical procedures that can be done for patients with these kinds of problems.
Now, as far as the success of these procedures and the impact, if you try it, for instance, as a stopgap, and if it doesn't work, is there any data to show that the outcomes of surgical treatment are any worse because you've tried something beforehand? Or is it basically a fairly benign procedure? If it works, it's great. If it doesn't work, then you can always jump into surgery in the future.
Well, the answer to that is very straightforward. Most of the patients I get for these procedures come from surgeons that are trying to avoid an open surgery.
Great.
It's very clear. These procedures do not burn any bridges. Patients will have as good an outcome with surgery as they would have if they'd never had these procedures.
That's great to hear. Now, one of the concerns is that, you know, patients sort of, they look around, you look on the internet, they look at various treatments. When is the right time and then to sort of seek out somebody like yourself to do this type of procedure And how far along the pathways of trying other stuff do you do before you jump into this in terms of, like, the way you approach your patients?
Yeah, they're not first choices. Some of these more aggressive interventional procedures, minimally invasive procedures, are not the first steps. We do the basic things first. If patients haven't done well with physiotherapy or simple medication management, a stretching and exercise program, we slowly work up the ladder to, you know, somewhat more aggressive procedures. We'll start with epidural steroid injections, maybe trigger points or facet blocks. When these things haven't worked and people have really had an impact on their quality of life and on their daily function, we start to think about these procedures. Another one that we started to talk about a little bit, which I really wanted to touch on today, was something called neuromodulation or spinal cord stimulation. This is another really interesting procedure. Do we have a minute to talk about this?
Yeah, we have another about 5-6 minutes.
It's a really big category of pain management. We have huge international meetings about this stuff. Neuromodulation includes deep brain stimulation, peripheral nerve stimulation. The long and the short of it is we're using electricity to modulate nerves, to influence the nerves to do something we want them to do, to function better or to cause less pain. In the case of spinal cord stimulation, or another subform of that DRG, dorsal root ganglion stimulation, we're using electricity at the level of the spinal cord or the nerve roots to reduce the pain. It's not going to fix anything, but for a situation where the patient can't be relieved of the condition, say it's just an advanced degenerative spine disease, or commonly someone who's had multiple spine surgeries and continues to have a lot of pain and dysfunction, the concept of this, it's very interesting. No matter where you feel pain in your body, it has to travel to your brain for processing to be understood as pain, so which means it has to travel through the spinal cord. No matter where your pain is, it could be in your foot, it could be a headache, the information has to travel through your spinal cord. It was discovered many, many years ago that providing a little bit of an electrical stimulation next to the spinal cord, in the epidural space, for instance, can close the door on painful signals entering into the spinal cord to be perceived as pain. So spinal cord stimulation it's almost that simple. It's just providing a very small electrical signal in the epidural space to sort of shut out the pain signals. Spinal cord stimulation is something we do commonly in interventional pain management. It has a number of advantages, one of which is it starts off with a trial where we bring the patient into the procedure room. Again, under an X-ray machine, we place a couple of small wires into the epidural space through a needle. The needles are removed, the wires stay in place, and for about a week, the patient is connected to a little generator that's literally in the dressing, and they control with a little wireless unit, controlling exactly that little bit of electricity that we're using in the low back. Typically, a representative from one of the equipment companies will be in communication with the patient daily to make sure they're optimally programmed. The patients will try it out for 3 or 4 days, and if they love it, if they find that these very tiny electrical impulses make a big difference in their pain and function, we can put in a quote-unquote permanent. A permanent is no more than the same procedure, putting in a couple of wires through needles, tunneling them under the skin, and then putting a small battery to run this, again, under the skin, so everything's out of sight. It's controlled with a little wireless unit, and the patient can control the electrical stimulation on their own. Some
That's
people
great.
Need it all the time. Some people need it occasionally. It is completely reversible. It can be removed at any time, a year down the road, 10 years down the road, or never. And it gives the patient again, a minimally invasive option to really control pain.
I think that's very, very hopeful. I mean, I think that one of the best things that we've heard today, and we have to sort of wrap it up a little bit, is that for people with chronic back problems, whether it be chronic disc herniations, chronic arthritis, there is hope. And I think that, and there is hope and there's opportunities without surgery to try to address some of those symptoms. And obviously, sometimes people do need surgery to try to address chronic back pain. But I think that there certainly are some amazing options. We're very lucky again today to talk with Dr. Craig Shalmy, who is a pain management specialist. If you do want to reach out to Dr. Shalmy, His office number is 914-873-8313, or you can reach him at cshalmi@treatingpain.com, and that's C-S-H-A-L-M-I at treatingpain.com. Again, you're amazing. You really take great care of your patients. We've shared patients in the past, and I think that what I respect the most with you is that, you know, you usually hold on to, you have these great armamentarium of tools, but you don't employ them unless you absolutely need it. Some guys, if you have a hammer, the world starts to look like a nail, and you're always very cautious and very conservative in how you approach your patients. So, again, thank you again for being on our show and for sharing some of your insights in terms of managing chronic and acute low back pain. And, again, this is Dr. Steven Zelikoff with Bone Talk. And if you have any questions, again, reach out to us on our website at specialtyorthony.com. And you can also hear previous sessions of our show. Thanks again. Until next month, hope everybody's well. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Steve. Take care.